Let us pray. O God, open our ears to hear your word to us today, and open our hearts to respond to your call to us every day. We pray through Christ. Amen. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. Well, many of you may have been here in morning worship on the fourth Sunday of Advent, which happened to fall on December 24th this year, and we learned that day it's not to be confused for Christmas Eve. On that day, Pastor John mentioned that my son Connell, had graduated from Virginia Tech just a couple days before. Well, Connell's our oldest child. He'll be 27 in just a few weeks. And the road to commencement for him has been long. And so that day was a day of great celebration for our family. And as such occasions tend to do for me, and maybe for you as well, I found myself thinking back and remembering some of the significant moments our family has had in our life together. One of those moments happened during what I always refer to as my favorite family vacation in the summer of 1998. And you can think whatever you want about the fact that that was 20 years ago, but 1998 it was. Bridget who is our youngest, who had just turned 3. Mairead was almost 5, and Connell was 7. Friends of ours offered us the use of a small rustic cabin they had near Ohio Pyle State Park in southwest Pennsylvania. It had no running water or electricity, just a couple of small rooms with beds, a fire pit outside, and a picnic table, and it was perfect. Every evening, we made foil dinner, followed by s'mores, followed by popcorn every evening. In the mornings, we washed up using a bucket of water. And through the day, we explored the area. We walked along a trail by the Youghiogheny River, and we played in the water at a nature-made water park. But the part of the week that has always stood out the most for me, and is an event I go back to over and over again, is our time on the river. The Youghiogheny is known for its wonderful rafting, and because there are different sections of the river that have varying levels of white water, there's a rafting adventure that's suitable for everyone, including a family of 5 with very little rafting experience. So we signed up for a non-guided brown bag lunch trip, put on our life vests, gathered our paddles, got into the raft, and the 5 of us were on our way. And as families tend to do, we immediately assumed certain roles in that raft. Patrick, who was the only one who'd ever been whitewater rafting before, was in charge. He assigned seating, passed out the paddles to me and Connell, and gave directions from the back seat. I, who had just a little bit of experience canoeing, tried my best to follow those directions and keep an eye on the kids. Connell immediately assumed the role of most enthusiastic rafter, which meant that 5 minutes in, Patrick regretted giving him a paddle, and 10 minutes in, his paddle was floating down the river. And we were grateful. Mairead, who is the almost five-year-old, sat perched on the middle seat of the boat, knuckles white, hands gripping the seat, silent and still. Bridget curled up on the floor of the boat and fell asleep. And while the rest of us were jostled about and splashed with water, she remained asleep until one of those splashes landed on her. Well, after a couple of hours on the river, we paddled over to a large flat rock to take a break and eat. Mairead crawled out of the raft and made her way as far from the water as she could. And only then did she make a sound as her eyes welled up with tears, and she told us she was afraid. After that break, a bit of regrouping and a lot of pep talking, we got back in the boat, and we discovered when we did that we were all a bit wiser and a bit braver, and were able to face the rest of that ride with newfound expectation and joy. Now, at the time, I was too preoccupied with following directions and paddling and looking out for the kids and no doubt bickering with Patrick to notice. But when I look back, I'm struck by how sacred that time on the water was for us. We each brought something to the experience. But together, we were also changed by it. And we were able to embrace the adventure that it offered, respect the power of the water, understand the danger that it held, and also be soothed by its rhythm. Well, this morning we gather by a different river for Jesus' baptism. And this year it's Mark's turn to tell us about it. This is Mark's first word to us about Jesus. He doesn't start with Mary or Joseph or shepherds or angels. He's left that to Luke and Matthew. And instead, he begins his story of Jesus by introducing us to John, with his odd fashion sense and his strange diet of locusts and honey. He tells us about John's ministry and the people who flocked to the Jordan River, repentant, longing for a fresh start, ready to be baptized. Well, the Jordan River wasn't just any body of water. It had its own sacred history. Generations before, Jacob had crossed it on his way back to his home and his family. And after Moses died, Joshua was chosen to take over leading the people as they too crossed the Jordan. And the prophet Elijah parted it just before passing on his mantle to Elisha to carry on that prophetic ministry. The Jordan had a part in the story of God's people. It was one of those holy places where God did things and something new emerged. And so when Mark tells us that Jesus came from Nazareth and John baptized him in the Jordan, we know that in his own stark way, he's telling us that things are about to change. If there was any conversation between Jesus and John, Mark isn't the one to tell us. If John pushed back at all, saying to Jesus that he's been preparing the people for him to come and saying, "I'm not worthy to untie even your sandals," Mark isn't going to share that with us. And because he says so very little leading up to the baptism, what he tells us next really stands out. As Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were torn apart. Now note that the heavens didn't simply part. They didn't open. Mark tells us they were torn. God tore open the heavens and came down. And while Mark doesn't tell us about Jesus' birth, he does tell us exactly what God is up to in the world through Jesus and just how passionate God is about entering it and changing our lives. Now this Sunday, the Baptism of the Lord Sunday, rolls around every year. after weeks of getting ready for and celebrating Christmas, after the Magi have come and gone and the decorations are packed away and that last cookie has been eaten and those regular schedules have mostly returned. But when we get to this day each year, we're not simply marking the next thing that happened in Jesus' life. We're reminded that the story of Jesus' baptism is also the setting and sets the pattern for our own. Because we as the church follow Jesus into the water, and there we meet a passionate, loving God who has torn open the heavens to be with us too. God wants to be with us in a fierce and intentional way, not in a check this off your list of things to do kind of way. God wants to move around with us, to see things through our eyes, to comfort our aching hearts, to give us courage when we're afraid, to convict us when we're out of line, and to hold on to us fiercely through it all. The God who has the power to create the whole world and everything in it is the same one who chooses to enter into my life and your life and stay with us. Now, I want to invite you for a moment to imagine your own baptism. Whether you were a baby or a child or an adult or whether it's still to be, imagine that day. Imagine the water splashing on your face as you look up, and just for a moment, you see that the chasm between heaven and earth has disappeared. And you hear that voice call out to you and say to you, just to you, you are my beloved child, and I am delighted. These are the words that flow through these waters of baptism. They bind you to the church, and they create a community for you within it. They hold you as you enter the life to which God has called you. They will reassure you when you're afraid. They will call you back when you lose your way. They will give you courage to follow Jesus into the hard places, and they will comfort you when you are weary. These words, more than any other words you will hear in your life, tell you the truth about who you are. Let them resound in your heart, because you are God's beloved child, and God is thrilled. And it all starts in these waters that we pour every Sunday when we gather for worship. These waters that splash into the bowl and out into our lives. It all starts in these waters, because water changes things. Let's stand and say what we believe. We believe that in baptism, the Spirit demonstrates and confirms God's promise to include us and our children in his gracious covenant, cleansing us from sin and giving us newness of life as participants in Christ's death and resurrection. Baptism sets us in the visible community of Christ's people and joins us to all other believers by a powerful bond. In baptism, we give ourselves up in faith and repentance to be the Lord's. For both children and adults, baptism is a reminder that God loves us long before we can love him. For both God's grace and our response to it are not tied to the moment of baptism, but continue and deepen throughout life.